Very thankful this morning for that amazing grace. Many of you know that story of John Newton that was a slave trader, a despicable man bound by sin, full of hatred, and yet God in his love and in his mercy saved him, radically transformed his life. And he wrote the words to that song, Amazing Grace. Amazing. And I can't help but think of Brother Cook when I use this word because he didn't like it. But it's that awesome. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's grand. It's magnificent. And grace, by definition, is unmerited favor. Grace, by definition, is not something that we earn, but it is something that is freely given, even when we didn't deserve it. And God's grace is truly amazing. I'd like to begin over in the book of Revelation this morning. The title of the message is Living and Dying Grace. In the book of Revelation, we'll begin reading with chapter 14 and verse 13. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. He was encouraging God's people there. He said, I want you to write this down. Blessed are they, are the dead which die in the Lord. Do you know that death is not something that we need to be afraid of this morning? Death is something that we actually can anticipate. Now, none of us here have ever died because we're here. Some of us may have gotten close. And there is something about the unknown that brings some trepidation. Because we've never been there before. It's like we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But the writing here is the apostle through the Spirit was saying, I want you to encourage the people, encourage the Christians, that if you die in the Lord, you are blessed. If you're not living for the Lord this morning and you die, you are not blessed. Because there is eternal suffering, but there is eternal life. Blessed and happy are those who are saved and ready to meet God, because when they die, when they depart this life, they are in a place of rest, in a state of eternal bliss. No more crying, no more separation, no more temptations, no more problems, no more burdens to bear. They are in a prepared place. And so that's why he said, happy are them. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. So we don't need to be afraid this morning of death. Now, the process is a little uncertain, because to die, something has to happen. Some people will die instantly. Some are going to die. Everyone's going to depart when the Lord Jesus comes back. But some people do go through some suffering. Some people go through some hardship physically before they die. And no, we don't really welcome that. But when we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we can look forward with anticipation to what lies on the other side. I believe it was yesterday, I told Renee, I am ready for the Lord to come. I am looking forward. I was like, Lord Jesus, I'm ready for you to come. Would you come? Someone asked me a while back, they said, do you think that the Lord's not going to come back until God's people are actually praying and begging for him to come back? I don't know that there's any Bible for that, because none of us know when the Father's going to send his Son to come back. But I am looking forward to the Lord coming back this morning. Are you? If you're not, you want to ask yourself why. Now, I understand the young folks may be like, no, I've got some life I want to live first. That is a very normal reaction. I remember hearing a minister probably about my age. I thought he was old at the time, but I'm not old. But I remember as a young person hearing someone that was preaching, oh, if the Lord just come back. And I'm sitting here thinking, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm 18 years old, I'm 17 or 18, and, you know, we've got life we're looking forward to living. But the older you get, and the worse our world is getting, it's like, Lord, we're ready for you to come back. But it's important that we live ready. Live ready for the coming back of Jesus Christ. I have stood on the brink of that shadowy river called death more than once, but I didn't cross over. But I remember there was one night particularly, and those in Kenya thought it was cerebral malaria that I had. It ends up going quickly, but I was back home. And I remember I was going into these states that I did, you know, I was fixing my body, I was starting to almost lose consciousness. And I remember telling Renee, whispering, it's time to call the children in. Because I felt myself going back into one, and there was something I did not know if I was ever going to come back. It looked like I was dying. And I remember telling my children goodbye. Those last words, it might be the last words, but I can say this. At that time, I was not alone because the presence of the Lord was there. I was experiencing a little bit of some dying grace, although I didn't end up dying. The Lord healed me. But he brought me out of that, but there was something there that I was not alone because the presence of the Lord was there. When we get to that place of crossing over to the other side, the Lord is going to be with his children. The Lord gave me this message before Aunt Cheryl passed away. Because Uncle Dan, in his text he sent out, he said something about dying grace, about grace. The Lord had already given me that. But understand this, we don't need to be afraid because grace is divine influence. It's divine influence in unmerited favor. When we get to the end of our life and it's time to die, the presence of the Lord is going to be there to help us cross over to that place that he's prepared for us. And so although our family and friends, and maybe if you've been at someone's bedside that was dying, that was ready to meet God, you saw their body shutting down. I've been with many people that died, and their bodies start shutting down, and they're taking their last breaths. I remember sitting in a hospital with a man that was dying, and he had been living what the world would say an alternative lifestyle. He was a gay man, and he had come and he'd gotten saved, and so he was there dying by himself. So I sat in his hospital room by his side for many, many hours until he passed over. And he was not conscious at that point. And I remember watching the monitors. Is he dead yet? And I was watching and he had stopped breathing. And it was like, okay, I think it's over. And then there would be another breath. And we'd wait another hour or two. And it was just ongoing. But do you know we weren't alone there? Because he had given his heart to God. He had been transformed. And there was a dying grace that was promised to God's children. He will not leave us in those times. And I believe that is what David was speaking of over in Psalms 23. When he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? The shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even when we go through that valley of death, we're not alone. The presence of the Lord will be with us when we get to that place in life. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will be there to carry us over with his angels as we draw our last breath. And I know there is an earthly separation when loved ones die. And there's tears. There's that where we miss them. But do you realize it really truly is a celebration? I've told my wife many times, when I die, just remember, this is what I've been living for. It's what we're living for this morning. When it's my time. And I want to remember that when my loved ones, when they cross over and they die, to know the Lord is going to be with them in death. He's taken them to a prepared place. And now they're in eternal rest. That's a joyous thing. That's a wonderful thing that we're working for this morning. So grace is undeserved favor. It's unearned. It's help. that God gives to man. So there is dying grace. So do you all believe in dying grace? Like I said, most of you haven't experienced it. But it's what gives me courage for those that love the Lord that come to that place. Dying grace. Let me illustrate it this way. I'm borrowing from an author on this. He said when a person works for 8 hours a day and gets a fair day's pay for his time, that's called a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for long service or high achievement, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, and yet they received a gift anyway, that's a picture of God's grace. So when we talk about the grace of God, it's not that I was so good. It's not that I sacrificed so much that I earned it. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. When we come close to dying and we are in that dying process, there is a grace. There is a power. There is an influence, a presence of God that is going to carry us over into the next life. And it's not because we earned it. Brother Austis Wilson, my old pastor, his father was a pioneer minister. And he had sacrificed his life in the ministry. And as he lay on his deathbed, after years of laboring for the Lord, Brother Austis asked his dad, he said, how does it look ahead of you? And his response was, on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus, I'm ready to go. It wasn't that, well, I've worked for God many years. It wasn't that I've been so righteous. It wasn't that I've led so many people into the kingdom. It was on the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. Have any of you earned the blood of Jesus this morning? Have any of you done something that you deserve to be forgiven and saved? We are not saved because we're so good or we earned it. Salvation is because of the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Grace is a gift. It's not because we earned it or we're so good. So it's something that the grace of God, when we came to Him in our sin, it set us free. We don't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so good, do this for me and give me this. We come broken, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord forgives us because of His grace. If you feel like I just don't deserve it, none of us do. Who here deserves forgiveness? Is there anything in your life, in your past, that you're ashamed of? Would you like everything just spelled out? What if we just had a big old, we could open this up and we have the screen behind here. Evan could type it in back there. You type your name and type in the things you're ashamed of. How many of you would be exiting this building when it got close to your name? Every secret thing that you've ever done is just going to be out before all of us. I kind of wonder if that's what Jesus didn't do when he stooped and started writing in the sand, and one by one, the Pharisees walked away. Who of us here deserves forgiveness? None of us. It's the grace of God. Grace is a gift that was freely given because God loved us and he sent his son. You see, grace is that divine empowerment then that saves us. When we're lost, it lifts us. When we're down, it sustains us when we're weak. And it delivers us in time of temptation. Do you want that kind of grace working in your life today? Does anybody besides me need that grace? All right, there's two of us. Oh, I saw some heads nodding. But here's my question. We talk about dying grace, and that sounds really good, doesn't it? When I get to the end of life, there's going to be dying grace. Am I the only one here, I'll confess it, this is a confession, that has come to maybe a place in life and it's like, Lord, just take me out of here. I'd like to just die. There's dying grace. Lord, just take me out by your grace. And yet, here we are. Folks, if you want dying grace, you're going to have to get some living grace. All right? It would be easier because, see, that's the final enemy that was conquered was death. And Jesus conquered that. And we say, Lord, just give me an escape. Just take me out of here. I'm saved and I'm ready to go. And I don't want to deal with these problems anymore. Lord, just take me out because I believe in dying grace. And yet, you're living for a purpose this morning. And if we want to experience the beauty of dying grace that ushers us into heaven, we're going to have living grace today. That means in the battles that you're facing this morning, there is grace for you. You remember I told you that you were not here by accident this morning? There is grace for you in your problems, in your struggles, in your difficulties, in your affliction, in your financial problems, in your marriage problems, in your family problems, in your personal struggles and temptations. There is grace for you this morning that will enable you to rise above the problem and still have victory in your life. If we want dying grace, which there is also living grace this morning. And I will say living grace is amazing because I didn't deserve it. I don't know, I didn't do anything to get this influence in my life of God to enable me to overcome things that look so insurmountable. And yet there is living grace for us when we are sick and when we are hurting. And when we are mistreated, and when we are talked about, what then? See, those are just some of the problems of life. What then? There's living grace. You say, but Brother Michael, you don't know how bad the situation is. There is grace that will enable you to overcome and have peace and victory in your life. You say, what do I need to do? I'll get there. We'll get there. But there is grace for you in your need. I know there are some problems that we face in life that our inclination is, I would rather just die. And yet the Lord says, but I have grace for you. And you didn't, we said, how do I get it? You didn't deserve it. See, this is the thing about grace. It's unearned. So whatever your problem is this morning, I said whatever. Should I say whoever? Whatever, whoever, however, the problems in life are surrounding you. There is a power that God has for you in your life that will enable you to persevere and stay faithful and maintain your integrity with God. There is a grace this morning. And if we do not believe that, we are wasting our time coming to service today. We might as well just go home. If we don't believe in the grace of God. You see, and Brother Randy and I were talking just a little bit about this. I think it was this week. But we had a minister, I had a minister that came in fellowship with us. He was from he was a Pentecostal pastor. And so when we were pastoring in Shawnee, he brought his family and moved into the congregation. And I remember him telling me, and I was very young at the time, but I remember him telling me, he said, I didn't understand grace. He said, we would go to service and we'd have a big old time at church. And they would speak in tongues and they would carry on and do all these things. But he said, we'd go home and we had no power with God. He said, there was nothing there, and then we go work it up when we got to church on Sunday. He said, and then I heard you preaching about grace. And he said, I didn't know what that was. Do you realize what gets me through the day on Monday is not just what happened here on Sunday. What gets me through Monday is the grace of God. I am desperate for the grace of God. It's wonderful to have been saved. But do you realize salvation equips us and opens us up that we can begin to be recipients of the grace of God? But on Monday, when I'm faced with problems and troubles, I still need help. Say, well, I'm so good now. I just deserve it. No, I don't deserve it. Lord, I'm really struggling here. And Lord, I love you. And I want to forgive. I want to say no to the temptations, but I'm really struggling. Lord, I need help. Do you know what the help that God gives us is called? It's called grace. This is like an umbrella term. Grace is God's help to you that you don't deserve. So when you are struggling and you say, Lord, I need more patience, what you're saying is, Lord, I need you some unmerited favor right now that I don't deserve, but Lord, I need patience. Or I need, Lord, I've been bitter. And I'm feeling bitter about this situation. Lord, would you help me to forgive my enemy? Lord, on the job and at school and maybe in the congregation, Lord, that person that didn't treat me right. Lord, I'm really struggling with that. I need help. And the Lord helps you. That's what grace is. The Lord has living grace for us this morning. And it's what helps us live a consistent, godly life. It's more than testifying that I was washed in the blood of Jesus 48 years ago. It's more than that. It's that today I had a problem and God helped me with my problem. Yesterday I was really struggling and wrestling with the enemy and there were influences of the world and temptations were drawing on me and I didn't give in. I said no to the temptation. How did that happen? It was God's grace. I said, Lord, I need help beyond myself. That's grace. This is how we live for the Lord on a daily basis. It's His grace. So over in 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 9 and 10, this is where Paul said, my grace is what? Is sufficient. The Spirit of God spoke and said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, see, this is God talking, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul's response was, if this is true, and I believe it is, then most gladly, therefore, would I rather gladly suffer glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes, I have weakness. I feel very weak, but the Lord's saying, I'll make you strong. My grace is sufficient. So, how big is your problem this morning? Anybody have any big problems? I have some big problems, but I've got a bigger God. There is a God that has grace, which means He has help for me in my problem, in my struggle. When I feel like I'm at the end of my rope, with Vanessa's sickness even, if you'll allow me to use this as another example, but there have been times it felt like that God pushed us to the limit, about beyond what we really could bear. But we're still here. She's still here. And we still love God. And we made it through that time. How did we get there? Grace. God's help. When we didn't have the strength, and yet God did something and had favor upon us to see us through that day. To see us through another night. To see us through another place, it was like, how can we make it through this day? Your problems, God has grace for you. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe that in your problems, there is grace for you? There is. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you will just take some of the foolishness of my preaching this morning, I want to encourage your faith that there is sufficient grace, help that God has for you to see you through the problems that you are facing in life this morning. And this is where he said, Paul said, I can do all things through who? Through Christ. See, there's no room for self-righteousness now. You know, there are people and groups and churches, they start looking pretty self-righteous. We're so good. No, Lord, I'm saved by grace. I'm delivered from the power of sin. I don't sin anymore, but how can I do that? It's not because I'm so good. It's because God's grace not only set me free from sin, it keeps me from sin. And at the end of the day, it's, Lord, thank you, because I sure couldn't have done that on my own. It was the grace of God. It was His power. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How can we do that? It's by His influence. See, that's one of the other definitions of grace. It's divine influence. His power working in our life that we did not deserve. What about in temptation this morning? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make what? A way to escape. That means the temptation. And I know especially young people, sometimes they feel like this temptation is just too strong. Yes, it is. But there is a living grace. There is a power from God and an influence of the Lord that can be in your life that will make a way to escape when you're in temptation. And you think, yes, but I'm so tired of being tempted. The devil just will not leave me alone. Yes, the influences of the world are strong. The power of the flesh is incredibly strong. But there is a greater power this morning, and it's the grace of God. Where sin did abound, there doth grace much more abound. We say, how can anybody live a holy life in this wicked generation? By the grace of God. There's power. His divine influence surrounding you that you didn't deserve. You say, yeah, but I'm not worthy of it. That's the nature of grace. That's the very nature of grace, thank the Lord. So, got an anger problem? Have a temper problem? Have a pouting problem? Have a bitterness problem? Have a long-term illness? Have an honesty problem? What are the other things that we face in life? There's living grace for you. You have a people problem? You say, but you know, you don't know who my husband or wife is. If you lived with them for a day, you'd be preaching a different message. No, I wouldn't. Because I have seen in homes that were so difficult. I have seen husbands and wives in the face of some horrible things. There is a man by the name of Brother Trimble. I grew up hearing about Brother Trimble. Never met him. But he was in California where my dad grew up. And his wife was unsaved and she was ugly. She treated him horrible. He would go to service and he'd come home and she would have locked him out. And he'd have to sit on the porch for hours and couldn't get in the house. She treated him horribly. And yet he kept a sweet disposition. He loved her. He forgave her. He was consistent. And you know what the end of that story is? Before she died, she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. What? How can a man live with a woman like that? I mean, that David or Solomon, he talked about it's better to dwell in the wilderness than to dwell with a contentious woman. How do you dwell with a woman like that? How do you dwell with a man that doesn't treat you right? By the grace of God, there is a power that will enable us to love and forgive, to be patient in tribulation, to have joy in difficult times. There is a grace this morning. When you feel something rising up within you, in your home and on the job, maybe you have something and you're feeling anger. What is it that will bring peace in that? It's the grace of God. There is grace that is stronger than anger this morning. There is a grace that is stronger than frustration. There is a grace that is stronger than all of the fleshly temptations that are out there. We can live holy, godly lives, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It's not in our own strength, but it's by the grace of God. So how then can we get this? How can I have, because it sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, is there anybody here that doesn't want grace? So I've got a full cup. I don't need any more. I'll tell you, you get a full cup on Sunday, you all are going to leave here today. You can get in the car and go home, and you know what you're going to need? You're going to need some grace. Because the devil is going to tempt you. You're going to still have your personality weaknesses. And you're still living in the same place with the same people. Working with the same crew. Going to school with the same things. We've got influences in this world. How can we make it? The good news, it's not hopeless this morning. But I need grace every single day. Lord, I need your help today. Whatever you are struggling with every single day, pray about it. Lord, help me today. I need your grace. I need grace to be quiet. I need grace to forgive. I need grace to say no when I'm being tempted in the flesh. Lord, I need your strength and power today to overcome temptation. You can make it this morning by the grace of God. So, one of the ways to access this wonderful grace, as it is divine influences, get close to the Lord. John chapter 15, abide in me. Abide in Christ. Do you realize that? Let me just put it this way. I remember one time one of my children stole something. We were on a trip and we'd been in a souvenir shop. And on the way home we saw something. It's like, where did that come from? I know we didn't pay for it. Well, there were some situations that got cleared up real quickly when we realized that they'd taken it. They were young. It was that growing thing. You know, you have to teach them. However, they didn't do it when I was standing right next to them. Do you know if my child would have been standing right next to me in that store, they wouldn't have taken that? Because I would have had some influence over them. I'm in the presence of Dad. I'm not going to take that. I hope you start seeing a parallel here. Do you realize that when we stay close to Christ, temptation starts losing its power? When we start staying close to Christ, when you're tempted, maybe you're getting really frustrated and you feel some anger starting to come. How am I going to respond to this? And you've been living close to Christ. It changes how you talk. Let me ask you a question. Please do not answer this one, okay? I just want to be real practical with you. Has there been any situation in the last month that you would have responded to in the privacy of your home a little differently if I would have been standing there right next to you? Just food for thought. Would have you phrased something a little different or maybe toned things down a little bit? Or would have you, because you think, well, you know, the pastor standing right here, there's a little influence there and I'm going to handle this differently. Okay, I really don't want to be in your home 24/7, okay? I don't want to. But the Lord is. And do you realize that when we are abiding in Christ and we are seeking to be what the Lord wants us to be, that when we are faced with these issues and temptations and struggles, that when we're close to the Lord, there is a grace and influence that He has on us that changes how we act and react. Because I've been living with the Lord. The Lord's close to me. All right, I don't want to keep us too long this morning, but this is so important. We'll be done here shortly. James 4:6 is the key to grace. The key. He giveth more grace. Does anybody need more? That means I've about run out. God never runs out. He giveth more grace. And you say, I put up with this about as long as I'm up to here. Have you ever been up to here? And then all of a sudden, it just seemed like the waters got deeper and you were still just up to here. What kept you afloat? God giveth more grace. And so then how do we get it? He said, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. But he gives grace. He gives his divine influence. He gives his unmerited favor to the humble. So if you want grace to work in your life, and this sounds good to you, not just dying grace, but living grace, here's the answer. Humble your heart. Humble your heart. That means I need to not be proud, and I need to acknowledge my need. This is when God can help us, when we say, Lord, I've got a problem. Here's a test for you. Next time you're tempted, next time you're frustrated, next time there's something that's going to challenge your grace, okay? That's going to challenge it. I want you to just stop for a moment and say a silent prayer. Like Brother Randy said, you might not have time to get on your knees, and it's with someone in your home. It's like, just a minute, honey, I'm going to pray. I'm not sure that's going to be the best way to handle that. I'm praying for you. No, you need to pray for you. You see what I'm... You stop for just a moment and say, Lord, would you help me right here? Just quietly in your heart, Lord, I need some help right here. I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, would you help me, please? I'm humbling my heart to the Lord. Do you realize when you humble your heart to the Lord, it's so much easier to humble your heart to people around you? It's so much easier. This is the avenue to grace. Lord, I need your help. I'm being tempted. Lord, would you help me? Lord, I'm being tempted really strongly. Lord, I need some help right here. You will find God's grace is sufficient. I cannot this morning live victoriously in my own strength. I'm thankful I got saved. I'm thankful the Lord gave me his Holy Spirit. But I daily need God's help that I didn't earn. I didn't earn it. I need his help, and that is called grace. So lean hard on him this morning. Lean hard on the Lord, and as we do that, we're going to find that his power is sufficient. His influence is greater than all the things of this world. So this is what we need in our prayers. Lord, give me grace. Patience, love, joy, power to forgive, ability to not argue. Lord, would you help me in this? And in closing, Hebrews chapter 4, you can go home and read it for homework if you want. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Throne of grace. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't be ashamed. We have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Knowing that, come boldly, come with assurance to the throne where you can get help that was undeserved and unearned. And God will have mercy on you in your need, and then he'll give you help to overcome. I am desperately in need of the grace of God in my life on a daily basis. This is the answer to daily victorious living, and I thank God for his grace. Amen.